You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with John Gibby, Stephen Powell and Andy Gibson in the studio. We've got three meetings in the afternoon, all of them over obstacles, Chepstow, Haydock and Market Raisin. So plenty to get stuck in to do. Join them for that right now. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Craig Forsyth. And we're going to start with a little bit of a look back at the Cheltenham Festival, the big 4 days last week. Obviously, as we record this, this would have been the first day this time last week. It's flown by. And just as an overall festival, it seemed as good as ever this year. It was superb stuff throughout the 4 days.
It really was. I think the highlight of the 4 days, which is usually the quietest day, Mark, was Thursday. There was storylines and headlines, you know, all over, left, right and centre. It was such an enjoyable day to be involved in the sport. Overall, four fantastic days. Still on the come down. That's the only problem now, Mark. Raising the levels back to where there was 7 days ago.
Yeah, you know, you get post-holiday blues. I've got post-Cheltenham Festival blues myself as well. You mentioned the Thursday there. Three of the four championship races last week were won by new horses, new champions. Paisley Park, one of the more impressive ones. He's the new king of the staying division. And given his campaign this season, how he's just improved and improved. And the division isn't always the strongest. Can he go on and dominate the staying hurdle for more years?
Yeah, he's a young horse. You know, he's improving as he gets more experience, as he gets older. You know, he's got that likeable way of running where he hits the flat spot in his races. He's done it on the last two occasions in the Cleve and in the Stairs, but it's the way he finishes his races off, particularly on a track like Cheltenham. When he meets that rising ground, Mark, he's a fantastic sight. He really is. And at this moment in time, you know, you have to say he's very much the one they all have to get to in 12 months' time. It was a really likeable performance. Again, another great story attached to it because of the owner. And of course, Emma Lavelle as well. You know, as the owner said in his interview afterwards, had this horse been trained by one of the big three or four, he'd have been a lot shorter price. So, yeah, very taken performance by Paisley Park. And it was, you know, just about nearly everybody was cheering him home when he got going up against that rail. So he's going to be the one they all have to get to next year.
We've got a new champion hurdler as well, going back to the first day, of course. Espoir de Laine winning this year's champion hurdle. The reigning champion hurdler, Bouvardet, coming down. So we never actually got to see whether he could win it for a third time or defend his title. But connections of Espoir de Laine, obviously that's JP McManus as well. And Gavin Cromwell and Mark Walsh have been saying afterwards that this is not a fluke performance and he's capable of this kind of level. Obviously a 16-1 winner on the day. Do you think he can come back this time next year and he'll obviously be shorter if prep goes right? Is he as good or is it a fluke result, do you think?
Definitely no fluke. I thought he was a very impressive winner. Of course, you know, the two mares disappointed. Apples Jade, who seemingly scoped badly after the race. Larina just looked short of class, really. Obviously, you can't help what happened. Bouvardet, you know, he came down very early in the race. But the overall form, Melon second, Silver Streak third. But, you know, he ended up beating those two horses by 15 lengths. In terms of what he achieved on the clock, the race was half a second quicker than the Supreme Novices hurdle. So yes, he can, Mark. Would I want to back him at his current odds? No, is the answer to that. But I thought, in his own right, he was a very impressive winner of this year's champion hurdle. And many people will look to the disappointments of the mares and the failure of Bouvardet to jump round, but take nothing away from the winner.
In terms of prices for next year, the Champion Hurdle 2020, Espoir de Laine 5-1 favourite in that market, Bouvardet 6-1, Classical Dream 10s, 16s for Apples Jade, 25s or bigger for the others is how it stands at the moment. We also saw a new Gold Cup winner in the shape of a first winner for Willie Mullins as well, Album Photo. he was pretty good on the day. There were a lot of positive noises beforehand. Sir Anthony McCoy said that he'd heard plenty of positive talk from Ireland, and it seemed to be that, you know, that it came true. And the story of the week will be that Willie Mullins has finally got a Gold Cup. Can he win it again with album photo? Is he, because he's had a bit of a checkered career, hasn't he? He's always kind of been the nearly horse or something goes wrong, and this is the first time he's actually got it right on the big stage.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why he can't, Mark, as the first answer to that question. After all, he is only a 7-year-old. You know, he's only had 13 career starts under rules. So, you know, I don't think they've fully got to the bottom of him yet. But his biggest problem might be the horses coming through the ranks that contested this year's RSA. I think we've seen three very, very good horses fighting out the finish on that occasion. Top of the game, Santini, who's probably of most interest in Delta Work. You know, I think those three next year all look potential Gold Cup contenders. So he may have more to fear from the younger brigade, the novices moving into their second season. But no reason why he, you know, won't have another good campaign. What we've seen of the last two Gold Cup winners is just the one prep run, very, very fresh, which did come over fences, not like Presenting Percy, who had the one start over hurdles. So two very fresh horses, the last two winners of the Gold Cup. So it'll be interesting to see how Album Photo is campaigned next year.
It will, and like I say, it's always the question that we ask, will the RSA brigade and the novices be good enough to take on the proven ones? Album Photo, currently the 7-1 favourite for next year's Gold Cup. Top of the game, the RSA winner is 8-1. Clan de Zobo, 12s. Santini, 12s. 14 Surname. Altior, 16s. Interesting if he goes there. Presenting Percy, 16-1 as well. If he had a better prep run, or preparation in general. Interesting to see how he gets on. 20-1 bar those. That brings us on to Altior. The reigning champion chaser. He's won it 2 years in a row now. He's by far the best 2-miler around. Yeah, everybody wants to see him step up in trip. If he was yours, would that be what you'd do? Would you step him up in trip and see how good he is over further? Or would you just reign supreme in the 2-mile division? How would you do it?
I think now is the time to try him over further. Not just because he's reigning supreme, Mark. We've seen him come under serious pressure in this year's Queen Mother. I mean, there was a real fright on for the short price backers, but his class prevailed in the end. And he left the impression, the way he finished off on that occasion, that now is the time to step him up and have a go, because, you know, he could be even better. That sounds daft, given the level he's already run to, but, you know, he could be even better over further. And I think it would be fantastic, you know, to see him in the likes of the King George on Boxing Day. And a lot to look forward to with him. And in the choice that Nicky Henderson and the owners do take from here. You know, personally, I would love to see him take that step up and trip.
He is the 3-1 favourite for the King George the Sixth Chase at Christmas time. Interesting if that's the way he goes, and if he does get there, I dare say he probably will be shorter than 3-1 on the day as well. So that might be a bit of interesting business if you fancy a look at that. He's 3-1 as well, by the way, for the Champion Chase next year. If that's the route he ends up going, he won't be 3-1 that race either. So those are, it's just for us trying to figure out which way you think he will go. In terms of the rest of the week, we've spoken about the Championship races there. There is another horse that you're keen to side with for next year's Cheltenham Festival, isn't there?
Yeah, I think, you know, I often say people looking ahead will bet at this stage of proceedings for next year's festival is pure madness, Mark. And if you remember back 12 months ago, people were falling over each other to back Kalashnikov at 10 and 12 to 1 for an Arkle before he'd even jumped the fence.
Yeah.
I mean, those type of anti-post bets do not interest me at all. But there was one horse this time around, and it's 40 to 1 for next year's champion hurdle with William Hill, and that is Champ, who finished second in the Ballymore Novice Hurdle. Travelled extremely well through that contest. I wouldn't say outstayed in the closing stages, but beaten by a stronger stare at that distance. I think he looks the ideal type to step back and trip next year to 2 miles, and he could well be champion hurdle class. And obviously a bit of a dilemma for the owner, JP McManus, who also has the winner from this year, but he's a very, very interesting champion hurdle contender for next year at 40 to 1.
It'd be a fitting name as well, wouldn't it? Champ wins the champion hurdle. And JP McManus, no stranger to running his own horses against each other in that race, as we've seen with Espoir Delaine winning it this year when he had the reigning champion hurdler in Bouvardet. So obviously my tent are yours down the years with Jeski and all those kind of things. So yeah, interesting angle there at 40-1 with Champ for the champion hurdle next year. We've only got a year to wait. I'm just short of a year to wait. But
40-1, I'm prepared to sit out and wait.
I would for 40-1, to be fair, as well. So we've got all that to look forward to next year. It was a tremendous Cheltenham Festival, of course, and I've no doubt that there'll be more reaction to come over the next few days and weeks, and then we get stuck into Aintree and we'll see some of these horses turning up again. We've got all that to look forward to in just a few weeks' time, so a great time of year. We've got the flat coming back as well. Superb stuff in the racing world, and of course you'll hear it all on William Hill Racing Radio. As you will, the racing coming up on Wednesday. We've got a couple of races that Craig has picked out for us. We're going to go to Market Raisin first of all. The 340 is the first race that Craig has picked out. It's a 2 mile, 3 furlong handicap chase for 5-year-olds and older, rated 0 to 110. At the time of recording this, we've got 100 to 30 joint favourites in Brave Spartacus and Picnic Park, 7 to 2 Zephyr Amaris, 4 to 1 for Time for Gold, Uno Valoroso 11 to 2, and 7 to 1 for Starfoot. And as the market suggests there, Craig, this is tight. I know there's only six of them in the lineup, but you could give any of the six a chance here.
Yeah, definitely. I thought the most interesting one was Time for Gold. He's had 4 starts this year over fences. He won first time up at Bangor when he beat Steps and Stairs on that occasion. He went up £8, which, you know, was a big enough rise for a horse that had won a neck on that occasion. He struggled with the demands of Musselbra. Just looked too sharp a test for him, really. Took him off his feet. He made a few mistakes on that occasion. And then he was slightly disappointed behind Manuel at Wetherby. But he certainly bounced back and got back on track at Doncaster 19 days ago, finishing behind Away for Slates on that occasion. You know, I thought the handicapper dropping him £2 was lenient and kind of him for that performance, because that recent effort sets a standard here. You know, there's going to be a little bit of competition for the lead. Brave Spartacus, at the age of 13, will no doubt want to be up there once again. He was an all-the-way winner last time, but I don't think he desperately needs to lead Time for Gold. So I think Henry Brook would be happy just to take a lead in the early stages, sit in, and then hopefully pick the old boy off, you know, maybe 2-3 out. You know, he's well handicapped, only £5 higher than his win at Bangor earlier in the season. Donald's horse is going well. There's a lot to like about Time for Gold in the 340 at Market Raisin.
So Time for Gold, the selection for Craig in the 340. Straight on to the 350 at Haydock. We're going for a quick fire double here on the William Hill Racing Podcast. 2 mile, 3 furlongs in front of them for a novice's handicap hurdle. It's for 4-year-old rated 0 to 120. Field of 7 this time, and again, quite an opening. What would you go with here, Craig?
Yeah, I quite like the chances of Attila Di Savola here, Mark. A horse that very much caught the eye when he won a maiden hurdle at Sedgefield. He beat one of JP's at a short price on his first start over hurdles. Physically, he really looked the part the way he went about it on that occasion. He went back to Sedgefield carrying a penalty 27 days ago. That was a race he could never get competitive in. Ingleby Hollow, with his flat speed, you know, took them along at a really good pace in the early stages, and, you know, Groveman finished off to finish second, and Attila Di Savola finished third on that occasion. You know, both horses in the places doing all the best work late on and never really getting too serious behind Ingleby Hollow. I think there's better to come from him. You know, he steps up and trip here. I think that's a huge positive. And I think the handicapper has totally underestimated this horse's ability. I think an opening mark of 117 is at least £6 or £7 too low. And he looks by far the pick of the weights. He carries 11-12. You know, he's running here fresh. He only had the 2 starts this year. He's got a tongue tie on for the first time. Maybe there was a little problem why he disappointed last time, but he was weak in the betting as well, after being strong when he won. So I think this is a very well handicapped horse with a future, Attila Di Savola, and he'd have to be by far the best of the two bets on Wednesday.
Attila Di Savola, the selection there in the 350, then in the stronger of Craig's two selections. Thank you very much, Craig. Best of luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So those are the thoughts of Craig Forsyth then. Now we've also got some enhanced place terms at Chepstow on Wednesday. So we've got Andrew Thornton to take a look at those races for us. The first of them is the 220. Here at William Hill, you'll get 4 places and a fifth of the odds in the 220. So an extra place to aim at.
Well, the 220 at Chepstow, we're going four places of 50 odds. And I like Late Shipman carrying one of the top weights in here with Richard Patrick, good £3 claimer in board. This horse hasn't run in this grade for over 2 years. So Late Shipman, back this one each way.
Next up, we've got Andrew Thornton looking at the 250 for us, and this time five places at a fifth of the odds here at William Hill.
Well, in the 250, it's a handicap chase, long distance handicap chase. We're going five places of 50 odds. I fancy big time Frank each way. He's been very consistent, to say the least. Richard Johnson on board for the first time this afternoon. He stays well. I think the track will suit him. Big time Frank in the 250 at Chepstow.
And finally, five places as well in the 505 at Chepstow. It should, of course, be four places, but we're going five here at William Hill. And here is Andrew Thornton giving us his pick.
Well, the last race at Chepstow is the 505. We're going five places, a fifth the odds. I like Tegarek for John Joe O'Neill. Up in trip for the first time, ran very well at Newbury last time out. And that form has been franked by the second in that race, Dostil Phil, which won well at Exeter. So for me, Tegarek for John Joe O'Neill.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Andrew Thornton on the enhanced place races here at William Hill. We've had the thoughts of Craig Forsyth giving us his best bets as well. Whatever you're backing, very best of luck. And do join the guys on William Hill Racing Radio. They're live from 1:50pm with John Gibby, Stephen Powell and Andy Gibson in the studio for the meetings at Chepstow, Haydock and Market Raisin. So plenty to get stuck into. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening. And join us again next time on the Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.